Beginning at verse 1 of chapter 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince that standeth for the children of my people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said unto the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. And go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest, and thou stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of His precious and His eternal Word. Do you ever wonder what's going to become of me? Do you ever think that about yourself? What's going to become of me? Or maybe you thought about what's going to become of my family or my people? Or what's going to become of my nation? We wonder what's when we look at all that's going on, we look at everything that's there, we start wondering, how's this going to end? How's this all going to wind up? What's going to happen to bring this to an end? Or is it ever going to end? And we question these things in our mind, and it causes us to have consternation, causes us to have anxiety, causes us to worry. And Daniel is no less than us. What a great, wonderful man of God Daniel is. How intimate he has been with God, how close he has been in the presence of God, and how God has reveal things to him, and yet somewhere in Daniel's being, he looks at his people who are slaves to the Babylonians. He looks at the panorama of the world, and he sees his people down and out, and he wonders, is there any hope? What's going to happen? And he reads the book. He has not all of this. You're so blessed. Look how much you have. Daniel had very little. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Part of the Psalms, some of the Proverbs, and the book of Jeremiah. And he read the prophecies in Jeremiah and Lamentations. And when he read those prophecies, he says, I don't know how it's going to happen, but some way or another, God has to move. Some way or another, this is saying that God is going to take a hand in history. Well, if there's anything that you learn from the book of Daniel, it ought to be this: that God is on the throne, God is almighty, and in the end, when the dust settles, and the last war has been fought, the last tank has been blown up, the last bomb has been dropped, and all of the horrible things that governments do to people have been done, when the dust settles and the clouds roll back, my friend, you're going to see the kingdom of God on this earth. You're going to see that in the end, God has won. There's a huge battle going on around you, folks. There's a spiritual battle going on in the powers of the air. If you read the scripture, you know that Satan and his crowd have been banished from heaven to live there, and they're in the powers of the air around this earth, and Satan is the prince of the principalities of the air. You know that that's going on, and they're warring against everything that God does or even thinks to do in this world. Now, that's not the first war that's broke out. Sometime in eons past, when Satan rebelled against God, when the angels joined with him, a third of them, and we don't know how many creatures that is, and there was a terrible war, and Satan had to be expelled from his place that he had with God because of the horrible crime of insurrection against the Creator that they did. Well, when Daniel, through Nebuchadnezzar's dream, through his own dreams, and through the visions that God gave him, when Daniel looked, and I've always wondered if I could just do this, how cool it would be to go in and sit down in a small theater with a large screen and be able to see the past history. Wouldn't that be so cool just to sit down and be able to see all that's happened and come to an understanding of it? Wouldn't it be cool to see all the things going on in the world right now and the future? Well, Daniel has been privileged to live that fantasy of mine. Daniel has been able, through the Spirit of God, to see the panorama of history as it passes by. And he's not impressed with it. And God's not as impressed with it. And when he looks at it, he sees that his people, and who's he talking about when he's talking about his people? When he says, my people, who's he talking about? He's talking about Israel. He's talking about the nation of Israel. He's talking about the people of God, whom God has chosen, who have descended from Abraham, who have descended from David, who have come down to our present time, by the way. And Daniel is wondering, what's going to happen to my people? And as he sees the panorama of history pass by, then he is disheartened, because in every case, these animals that call themselves nations, carnivores, who devour and eat other creatures, are stamping on his people. He sees them with their foot on Israel. He sees Israel as it's in such horrible shapes. And if Daniel could have looked on down through history and saw the Holocaust and other things that's happened, he would have greatly despaired. So he asked, Lord, how long is this going to be? What's this going to be like? Well, how's this going to work out? What's going to happen? So as he watches the panorama of history go by, he discovers something, that history is not just meandering. I mean, it's not as if we're just being cut loose in the universe, and us human beings are here on this planet, and we're just wobbling around like a drunken fool in the air and in the atmosphere and wondering, well, is this ever going to make any sense? Is there anything ever going to come out of this that's going to come to any logical or good or wonderful conclusion? Well, the truth is, my friends, history is not just meandering around. God has a purpose and a plan. I don't mean he has predestinated every action, everything that everybody's doing, and you don't have any choice about anything. But it does mean that from the beginning, God has had a plan to take care of the universe. And in the end, my friend, God is going to win. Satan is going to lose. Hell is going to be filled with the devil and his angels. And heaven is going to be filled with human beings, angels who have stayed true to God, and human beings who have trusted God. And my friend, it's going to happen. Now, Daniel wants to know, how long is it going to be till the end? Well, you ever wonder that? Nearly everybody does that knows anything about God. And people have speculated on it. People have written it down. And I have to tell you, and I've told you before, if you are following a religious leader or following some great teacher or something, and that person is telling you exactly what year and what time the Lord is coming, get out, because you are in a cult. You're in a false movement, because no one knows the day or the hour. Even Jesus did not know the day and the hour of his return when he was here on earth. And if anybody says they know, they don't know. But Daniel says, how long, Lord, how long? What does the Lord say? Daniel, seal up the book. Daniel, close the book. The book, Daniel, has been sealed until the end. But when the end comes, the book will be opened, the seals will be broken. You can read that in the Revelation, how that Jesus himself walks up before the throne and takes the scroll and begins to break the seals. And the book is opened in the end. How is it opened? As it fulfills, we see it happening, and we can say, there's what Daniel was talking about. There's what Zechariah was talking about. There's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24 and Luke 22. That's exactly what the prophets prophesied about in the Old and New Testaments. So when we want to know how long it is, don't feel like you're the Lone Ranger. People have always wondered, when is the Lord coming? When is the end of the world? How long will it be? People in heaven are wondering that. You say, really? Yeah, have you read the book of the Revelation? The last book in the Bible? The souls of the people that are under the altar in heaven, that are there in heaven with the Lord. And you know what they're saying? You know what they're beginning to say? How long, O Lord? How long? And the Lord says, give them a crown, give them a blessing, and tell them it won't be long till their brothers that are on the earth are coming. But God is going to fulfill his way and his plan. It's going to be amazing to stand on the other side of this plan and look back at it. You know, we look at it today and we go, I just can't figure this out. When I first became a Christian, I thought surely I could just come to understand all this prophecy. If I just put my nose in this book and put my knees on the ground and pray and live a good life, that I could look in this book and I'd understand everything. And I studied and I read this commentary and this commentary and this commentary and this commentary. I read this preacher and that preacher and another preacher. I read this professor and that professor and another professor. And I looked at all the things they had to say, and you know what I discovered? They, none of them agreed. It's kind of like a lady at Pembroke said to me one day, what am I supposed to do? Said, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, your husband needs to be operated on right now. So she said, I went to another doctor because they said I should get a second opinion. And he said, well, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. I would never operate on him. So she went to get a third opinion, and that doctor said, ma'am, I don't know what to tell you to do. I just don't know what to do. So she's got three opinions, one do, one don't, one don't know what to do. And that's the way I found out that the writers were. It depended on what denomination I was reading. It depended on what day and age I was reading. I found out that I was reading a lot of scholars from back in the 1800s. And the late 1800s, the early 1900s. And Earl, they didn't have access to what we have access to. They had not seen the seals open. They had not seen the things revealed that we've seen revealed in our time. So when we look at it, we have to say, when is this going to be? Well, if people like Daniel and Paul and people in heaven are wondering when the end's coming, no wonder we wonder. Of course we do. And so the question is, how long will it be to the end? You'll know it when it gets here. And at that time, what time? He says, at that time, what time? at the time when you see, and by the way, all this does not revolve around the United States of America. None of it does. All of this does not revolve around the United Nations. None of it does. All of this does not hinge on Russia or some of those people. None of it does. It all hinges on who? Israel. That's God's time clock. That's God's watch. And if you want to know what's happening, watch what's happening to Israel, people. Jesus said, when you see all these things happening, then you know it's the end, it's the time. Now, what things is that? When Jerusalem will no longer be trodden down of Gentiles. You saw that in your lifetime. Most of the people sitting in this audience saw the time come that Israel took back over Jerusalem. My friend, he says, when you see all nations gathered against Jerusalem, how many days? Jerusalem, is it as big as New Jersey? I doubt it, but it has a bigger population. My friend, they dominate in science, in history, in all of the things of the world. And if you look at Israel, my friend, and look at what's happening, it all points to the Middle East. It's all coming that way. It's not coming in Washington or Moscow or London or Paris. It's coming to the Middle East. And where we stand is where we find ourselves in relationship to Israel. It says, and when these times shall happen, what shall happen? Then Michael, who is Michael? He's a great archangel. He's the only person that's called an archangel, by the way. He's one of the three angels that we know their names. Angels have names, but we don't know their names. We know who? Gabriel. When God has a message about the Messiah, he sends Gabriel. He has Lucifer. Who's he? He's the devil. He was an angel that rebelled against God. Who's the other one? Michael. Michael the archangel. And when it comes to Israel, Michael is the defender of Israel. Michael is God's general. Michael is God's heavenly host commander. And when the armies of heaven march, and when the angels come out, who comes out at the head of it? Michael. He's God's champion over Israel. And you look, when Satan rebelled against God, who came out? Michael and his angels fought against Lucifer and his angels. So at this time, Michael's not going to sit still anymore. He's going to stand up. What's going to happen? When all of this comes against Israel, when it looks like the power of the holy people will ultimately be scattered and Israel will ultimately be destroyed, my friend, do you realize that one atomic bomb that Iran may own, the size of the one we dropped on Hiroshima or Nagasaki in World War II, my friend, one of those dropped in Israel would destroy that whole country. That whole area would just be devastated with one bomb. We have hundreds of them, hundreds of times more powerful than those bombs, as do the Russians and several smaller countries. And all we need is one renegade country to get a hold of something like that. My brothers and sisters, at that time, Michael the angel shall stand up. And when Daniel asked the second time, oh, you say Daniel would ask God something twice? You say Daniel would ask God and God would answer him? I hear people say, don't ask him twice, that's a lack of faith. I doubt that. Christ had to pray twice to get a man healed one time, didn't he? You remember that? He prayed. And the man went and washed his eyes and he come back and he said, well, people look like trees and all that. And he said, well, let's do it again. And he prays the second time and the man is healed. Paul prayed three times for his own healing, for the thorn in the flesh, whatever it is. And he had to pray three times and still got the answer. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do it this way. So Daniel asked a second time, when shall these things be? How long is it, Lord, till at the end? You know something that's never clearly revealed in the Old Testament, but as clearly and close to it as anybody could come, it would be Daniel or Job. And that's the doctrine of the resurrection. Now, we take that for granted. We take it for granted that there's a resurrection. Human beings are going to die, but human beings are going to be resurrected. That's just part of what we believe. That's part of what we're doing. That's part of what we say. And you say, well, why didn't they believe it? How come it's so easy for us to believe, so hard for them to understand? Because they had not been to Jerusalem at the resurrection. They had not been at Jerusalem for the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that went into the tomb and raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that animates us and fills us, called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The same Spirit that quickened the mortal body of Christ will be the same Spirit that quickens the mortal body of Eddie Kendall. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that great? So we say, how long? And Daniel is saying, Lord, how long? How long is this going to be? And he gets some news. He said, I'd like to hear from God. I'd like to hear just exactly what God has to say. You know what God has to say to Daniel? You're going to die. That's what he has to say. He said, Daniel, you're going to die. He said, Daniel, close up the book. Don't worry about what's in it. When it comes time, it'll happen and Michael will stand up. But Daniel, you're going to rest. I like that part. It says, Daniel, you're going to rest. And when you rest, you're going to wake up again one day. And when you do, you're going to stand in your own place and in your own lot and do your own thing in the end of the time. And you're going to see all of this happen. Wow, that's a great revelation. Old Testament Christians, if we can say that, Old Testament believers, did not have that revelation. We take that for granted because we know Christ entered into death, stayed 3 days and 3 nights, came out of the grave, and ascended into glory. We know that because the power of the resurrection lives within the Christian. But they didn't know that. They had not seen Easter Sunday morning. They had not seen the day of Pentecost. So they didn't know that. But Job caught a glimpse of it. When Job was at his very lowest, when things were the very worst, his children were all dead, his money was all gone, his influence was gone, his health was gone. He was sitting in an ash heap of misery and ungodliness and did not know which way to turn. And God's Spirit animated that man. And you know what he finally said? Though the skin worms devour this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Job caught a hold of that. There's going to be a resurrection, Job. You're going to live again. And you're not just going to be some spirit floating around in mystical heaven or cyberspace or someplace. Job, you're going to see God in your flesh. Your own body shall be resurrected, and in your flesh you shall see God. This is what God says to Daniel. In fact, he says to Daniel, stand in your lot, Daniel, stand in your lot. For them that sleep in the dust are going to what? Awake! There's going to be what is Mahalia Jackson used to sing, in that great getting up morning, fare thee well, fare thee well. God's going to up and speak to Gabriel, fare thee well, fare thee well. Pick up your silver trumpet, fare thee well, fare thee well. There's a great getting up morning, fare thee well, fare thee well. Daniel, did you hear it when I read it just a while ago? When we looked at it on the screen just a while ago, did you see it in the Holy Scripture? Them that sleep in the dust are going to arise. And for the first time, we have conclusive evidence that there's not just a general resurrection or some going to be resurrected. We have conclusive evidence right here that all the dead in Christ are going to rise. And all the dead who are lost are going to arise. Some are going to be raised to everlasting contempt and torment and shame. And some are going to be raised to everlasting life, and they're going to shine like stars. They're going to be just like the morning, and the light of God is going to shine through them, and they're going to be there for eternity. And Daniel gets to see one of the first in all of the revelations of God, that those who sleep in the dust shall awake, and some shall come forth unto everlasting life. And who's that? Those that are written in the book. That must be the one we saw in Revelation when they opened another book, and it was the book of life. And they that were found written in the book of life did what? They get to go in. Those who are not found written in the book of life, they get to go out. And outside there's weeping and wailing and gnashing. I never did like that thing. Don't that scare you? Don't that make you feel uncomfortable? I don't like that idea of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and a bottomless pit and outer darkness and all that kind of thing. That doesn't do anything for me at all. I mean, do you really want to go to that? Do you really want to live a life in this world so that when you close your eyes in death and you wake up in the resurrection, that you find out, I'm still in this old thing? I mean, wouldn't it be terribly disappointed to wake up in a resurrection one day and find out the first thing you experience is arthritis? Wouldn't it be horrible to wake up in the next world and find out that the cancer is still there? Wouldn't it be horrible to wake up in the next world and find out that the dementia is still there, that the Alzheimer's is still there? Wouldn't that be a horrible thing? But wouldn't it be wonderful? There's an old poem that says, and I don't know that I can quote it all, but what must it be, it says, to wake up and find that your next breath is celestial air? What must it be to wake up and find that your next step is on a street of gold? Oh, what a wonderful thing that must be. We sing sometimes, I can only imagine, and that's all we can do is imagine. But I can't even imagine what it would be like to suddenly wake up in a perfect body and a perfect spirit. You see, there's the first resurrection, which is the resurrection of life. The one where the redeemed of the Lord, the dead in Christ, shall what? Rise first. But then there is a second resurrection, and you don't want to be in that one. That's the one about everlasting contempt and sorrow and all that kind of thing. You don't want to do that. So Daniel gets an answer. Daniel, you're going to rest. It's not going to be a torment, Daniel. It's not going to be a horrible thing. You're going to rest. And when you wake up, Daniel, it's going to be in a resurrection of life. And you're going to stand in your own lot. You're going to be your own person. You're going to do your own thing, Daniel. You're going to stand in your own lot, and you're going to see these things come to pass. What does he say? Once again, Daniel, the book is sealed. Daniel, until the time of the end, the book is sealed. And said, many are going to do what? They're going to run to and fro. What are they doing? What do you mean they're going to run to and fro? Well, if you want to go down with us over a month ago to Charlotte and come out that 20 miles of construction that's going on, and everybody in Charlotte wanted to go north and everybody north wanted to come south, and it wanted to pour down the rain all at the same time, you would certainly think that running to and fro would be not a good thing. It's not talking about on the highway. It's not talking about the interstate or the Autobahn or anything else. You see, what's it talking about? Men are running to and fro searching for the Messiah, searching for the clues to the end, searching for what will happen in the end. Scientists are busy digging. I know you want to watch something entertainment, but you ought to learn something that's going on in the world, my friend. You ought to understand things that are happening. And they're searching for eternal life. They're searching for ways to live. They're searching for ways to preserve humanity. And that's well and good, but that won't preserve your individual life. That won't preserve your soul and your identity for eternity. My friends, people are running to and fro and looking under every rock and in every
tadpole hole in the world to try to find where there's eternal life and where there's not. And my friend, it's not there. And at the same time, knowledge has been increased and men are smarter and smarter and can do more and more things than they ever thought were possible. But they can't do anything about the panorama of history that's going to pass by. And my friend, Daniel has watched Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians come and go by then, by the way. He has watched the Medes and the Persians come and go. He has watched by prophetic vision the Greeks under Alexander the Great, and he names what country they are. He's watched the Greeks come and he's watched them go prophetically. He's watched the Roman Empire come and go prophetically. And he has watched it go into perdition and the Antichrist go into perdition. And then he has saw the days that it will come out. My brothers and sisters, what a blessed calling Daniel had. What a blessing he had to live to be right at 100 years old and have seen all the things he saw and experienced all the things he saw. But then to be assured, Daniel, you're going to rest a little while. And after you rest, you're going to be resurrected and you're going to live and you're going to see all of this. You're going to be a real person, Daniel. You're going to be a living soul again. You're going to live in the eternal ages with God. And when all of this is past, and my friend, I can tell you, Trump is going to be history and Clinton is going to be history. I'm sad to say, and the United States will be history. And the British Empire will be history. And all of these things of history passing by, and we watch them go. And we watch millions, not hundreds, millions be killed and slaughtered in the working of all of these governments. But my friend, in the end, what Daniel saw and what Nebuchadnezzar saw was this great stone, hewed without hands, that crashed the image of human government and set up the kingdom of God. Daniel, you get to see all of this good stuff for real. And you know what? I'm going to watch it too, aren't you? Don't you aim to be there? I don't want to be on the lost end of this. I don't want to be on the end of this that's cursed and in everlasting contempt. But I want to be on the side where I live forever and never die, where I never grow old, where I'm never sick again, where I'm never heartbroken again. I wonder, Dottie Rambo wrote a song, if I could count all the tears that have fallen, it would seem like an ocean to me. My brothers and sisters, wonder how many hearts have been broken in this world. Wonder how many people are just sitting somewhere with an ache. You know what a toothache is. It's not like you get cut and you suddenly feel a pain. How many people are just sitting somewhere with an ache in their heart over a husband or a wife or a sweetheart, over a child, over a parent, over whole families? How much heartache is in Virginia Beach, Virginia, this weekend? How much heartache is in the world this weekend? My friend, if all the tears could be collected in the world, what a puddle of water it would be. My friend, I'm going to the Lamb. We used to sing a chorus. Notice they were singing choruses just before church today and sounded so joyous. And we used to sing a chorus, don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Don't you want to go to this heavenly vision that Daniel had? Don't you want to be at rest and wake up to sleep no more and wake up to join the chorus of heaven, singing the praises of God and engaging in the kingdom of God for all eternity? You say, that'd be a great thing, Eddie. Then why don't you go with us? Your ticket's been punched at Calvary. Your ticket has been bought and paid for. You, my friend, do not have to stay a captive in this world of beasts, but you, my friend, can go to heaven and live eternally with our God. Won't you do that today? wherever you are and whoever you are and wherever you're listening to us today, I want you to know that Jesus Christ lived and died for you and rose again. I want you to know that the promises of Daniel are even better than now that they are the promises of Christ to you. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions, but they also shall be resurrected and shine like the stars. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me today? Almighty and eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the great blessing and redemption of salvation. We thank you, Father, as we look through the eyes of Daniel in this book at the panorama of history and we see it going by, that we know that you're still on the throne, that we know that Christ won the victory over death, hell, and the grave. And Father, that we, the people of God, are going to shine like the stars, that throughout the ages we're going to be the evidence of the greatness and the goodness of God. Be with us, Lord. Touch the backslidden that they'll return to God. Touch the sinner that he'll be convicted and come to God. And touch us all, Father, that we'll lean in close to the Holy Spirit and that God's precious power will be with us. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.